Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play.
Welcome to the Cyberpunk Lorecast, where we brave scanning the net to find all the deep history and lore of cyberpunk.
I'm Toasty, a fixer that's new to Night City with a desire to jump into the details of this gritty setting.
And I'm Genesis, an old school media tech with a love of character deep dives.
Together, we will bring you the foundations of the past, the state of Night City today, and the news of the future.
We've got incoming. Let's Delta. Welcome back, Chooms, to another episode of the Cyberpunk Lorecast. I'm your girl, Genesis, and with me, as always, is Toasty.
Hello.
Hello. We have been flip-flopping between what day of the week we're going to record. And so I wonder if our listeners can tell what level of energy we have based off of, is this a Saturday morning recording or is this a Wednesday night recording? Or are they recording on some weird random day that's going to make it even randomer with the way that they talk?
Yeah, because like I'm the dead one this time, because last week you were, because it was Saturday morning. Which, to be fair, it's not Saturday morning's fault. It's the fault of you staying up until a time in Saturday morning than waking up on Saturday morning.
Yes.
Tends to have an effect.
I can't even argue with that point. Yeah. Yeah. Plus, your morning is earlier than my morning. So me rolling out of bed at 8 o'clock on a Saturday morning is still pretty damn early, no matter who you are.
Yeah, my body's so used to waking up early that, like, me sleeping in on a day off is, like, 7:30, which most people would consider gross.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So, we do have a scream sheet to go over, because we were talking about the crime rates in Night City last week, and we did a little bit of research and looked into it to try and find out what we could about the actual crime rate in Night City.
And I couldn't find any hard numbers. There's no like percentages or anything to point it out. There might be some sort of like lore doc in game that says that, but to try and scour every lore doc in the damn game, well, that would definitely be a feat. But I found out that as of 2077, Night City's crime rate is double that of the NUSA's, which I don't have hard numbers on either, but I have to imagine pretty high.
Yeah. Yeah, if your city is double the national average on anything, that's either really, really good or really, really bad.
Yeah. In this case, really, really bad, because again, no hard numbers, but specifically the words murder is endemic to the people of in USA, which means it happens a lot.
Yeah.
So much so that it's almost a personality trait of the new United States, which means Night City, get your shit together.
NCPD, get your shit together.
Well, that's never going to happen. It's too much crime. Being a cop isn't fun in Night City.
Mm-mm. All right. So we also need to backtrack just a couple of steps here from where we were last week. Last week, we talked all about Pacifica, and then I was like, let's do our deep dive into the Voodoo Boys because they play such a prominent role in Pacifica. But on our trip around the world, we might have missed a few of the smaller, less lore-heavy locations just because to read off a paragraph or two about one country didn't really fit into the scope of how we were doing things. So, let's kick off our deep dive into the Voodoo Boys by talking about the Republic of Haiti.
Or better known as the former Republic of Haiti. Lore really starts in the 2040s to 2060s when Haitians and other refugees from the decimated Dominican Republic started to move into Night City. Philip Oresta sailed to Haiti through the waves, winds, and torrential rains of a tropical storm to save 150 lives and guide them safely back to Night City. When Oresta and the other refugees finally arrived, following a short time wandering in search of shelter and a new life, the legend of Oresta was born. He became known as the new Agwe to the Haitian community. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly. I'm assuming Agwe or Agua, but which, an Agwe being a loa or a spirit who rules over the sea, fish, and aquatic plants, as well as being the patron of fishermen and sailors in Haitian Vodou.
In 2062, climate change wiped Haiti off the face of the earth. Along with it, the old Agwe eventually faded from memory, along with the Erzule, which are a family of loa that are often associated with fluidity, femininity, and feminine bodies. The Legba, who serves as the intermediary between God and humanity, and the other Loa of Old Haiti, as the Haitian people believed that they could no longer look after them. In their place, the Voodoo Boys became the new protectors of the people.
As of the 2070s, despite being constantly pushed by the Night City government and the NCPD, the Haitian community and the Voodoo Boys gang fought back from returning the Pacifica district to them, which we talked about. Pacifica to them was Haiti 2.0, where the community planned to rebuild their homes.
Mm-hmm. So that's kind of why Haiti didn't fit into our travels around the world, because it is that little of information. But it was good to bring up so that way we could build the foundation to talk about the Voodoo Boys. Here is their database entry from 2077. A mysterious gang of netrunners based in Pacifica, the Voodoo Boys uphold the district's independence and act as the leaders of the area's predominantly Haitian community. Ominous rumors circulate about the gang. Those who know the most about them are the Netrunners from Night City. At the very least, they can recognize a Voodoo Boys virus when it hits their system. And Netwatch agents, who for years have been trying to eliminate them. Unsuccessfully, of course.
Until, no.
Well, until.
But possibly. Now, after the destruction of Haiti, many refugees moved to Night City to work in the construction projects of turning Pacifica into a resort city. A project that eventually collapsed. You can go and listen to last week's episode if you want more information on that. The Haitians remained in Pacifica and were labeled as Voodoo Boys by the locals, who thought the Haitians had some resemblance to the defunct gang. The new Voodoo Boys became the self-appointed guardians of Haitian refugees' interests and safety in the Pacific District. They also began probing the Black Wall in hopes of making contact with rogue AIs beyond the barrier. Bold choice. It's a bold choice, Cotton. See how it plays out for. Although known by outsiders as the Voodoo Boys, the real name they use for the gang is unknown.
Which is interesting. If you really, I want to know.
We're not going to know. But yeah, I know. But important to mention that the name Voodoo Boys originated from a different group that then was repurposed for the Voodoo Boys that we know in Pacifica. So
like a pre-corporate, fourth corporate war gang used to go by the Voodoo Boys, and then
I don't think it was 3/4 corporate war, because I believe that it was the original Voodoo Boys were labeled during the time of the Red thereabouts, on the like migration over, but they were the protectors then, and then now after a time, now they have repurposed the name for the Netrunner group that we're familiar with.
All right. Moving on to 2077, the Voodoo Boys had become an enigmatic gang from Pacifica, made up of Netrunners devoted to uncovering the secrets of the Old Net and what was behind the Black Wall. They were also Etrunners, breaking every rule there was to break and programming viruses that could freeze neural networks.
The Voodoo Boys. Freeze my neural network, please. I don't want that. Don't cast Hold Person on me.
That's essentially what it is, yeah.
Oh, no.
Damn. Probably for longer than 10 turns, too.
Yeah.
The Voodoo Boys appeared to outsiders as an exclusively Haitian gang, heavily involved with the larger Haitian community in Pacifica, which had continued to grow since the arrival of the initial refugees. The gang was led by Brigitte and her second-in-command, Placide, and they had formed a rivalry with a booster gang known as the Animals.
Never heard of them before. That's nope, crazy man. That we're just finding out this information. Now, there was also a schism between Brigitte and Wilkie Laguerre? Is that how you think of
Laguerre, yeah.
With the latter moving into Dogtown with his people. This fragmentation was based on the fact that Brigitte wanted to pierce through the Black Wall, while Wilkie, a.k.a. Slider, considered it a very dangerous thing to do, which is something that he tells us a lot about in Phantom Liberty before he gets his brain fried. So, brain fried by the Black Wall, of all things. Fucking crazy. So, yeah. Depending on the actions chosen during I Walk the Line and transmission, the Voodoo Boys in Pacifica can either be wiped out or would have traveled beyond the Black Wall with the aid of Alt Cunningham, disappearing from public view.
It's such a big decision that you don't even realize is, like, key on your first playthrough.
You really don't realize it until, like, you make a decision and, like, take the deal with the guy because you're not really paying attention to the consequences the first time you do it, and then you take the deal thinking that, you know, it's all right, and then you wake up and every Voodoo Boy is fried in their tubs or chairs, and you're just like, oh, I did a bad thing.
Yeah.
That's not me talking about my experience or anything. That'd be silly.
Yeah, no, of course not. That didn't sound like personal experience at all. She said in heavy sarcasm. All right. I think this is a good little spot for us to take a pause and go listen to some sponsors of the show in our mid-break. Welcome to the middle of the show, where we talk about the show and not the lore of Cyberpunk. We don't have any new patrons to read out. We don't have any new reviews to read out. We don't have any new Spotify comments to publish. We don't have anything new going on. Mad. Maybe sad.
Mad?
I like things in the mid-break.
Aye, that's mad, bruv. That's mad crazy, bruv.
Right. I'll go be sad.
Wait, I can't do accents in the middle of the show. That's an end of the show thing. Damn it.
Tosi, we've gotten to the point where we accent at any point in the show. It's not limited to just the last 2 minutes.
That's true. You're right.
Okay. I don't think that I actually have anything else to add to the middle of the show. So, you got anything?
I do not.
All right. With nothing else to add to the middle of the show, let's get back into it.
Now, continuing about the Voodoo Boys as a whole, they are considered a mysterious gang from Pacifica with a dark reputation for their net running skills and their mystical voodoo flavor. Presumed to be entirely composed of members with Haitian blood, the Voodoo Boys are exclusive, secretive, and distrustful of outsiders. I wonder if I picked up on that in all of my playthroughs. Yeah, I think I did. The gang was originally comprised of voodoo priests and priestesses, the prominent caste in the Creole culture of the Haitian diaspora. But after 2062, they began a new chapter and became the self-appointed guardians of Haitian refugees' interests and safety in the Pacifica combat zone.
Now, most Voodoo Boys are netrunners, so cooling suits and neural implants are common elements of a member's outfit, complemented with voodoo-flavored elements like dreadlocks, tattoos, and the bones and skulls of small birds and rodents worn as charms. Cyberware used by the gang includes Cyberdex and, of course, the Neuralinks.
I'm actually doing something real quick because I'm curious. Curious about something.
¿Qué pasó?
Because I was actually surprised by the statement like voodoo flavored elements like dreadlocks, and I was like, do dreadlocks have like an origin in like voodoo? That like, excuse me, and I'm like looking. Origins of dreadlocks can be traced back to ancient cultures as early as 2500 to 1500 BC, where the god Shiva and his followers are described as jata, meaning wearing knots of tangled hair. Other examples are found among ancient Egyptians, Buddhist monks in India, Maori warriors.
Okay. So I know that knot tying and tangling and hair in itself are all part of the voodoo practice and of Vaudun and voodoo and all that. So I guess locking could also be a part of that, if maybe you're actually weaving protection into the knotting of your hair.
Ooh, okay. Okay. It's cool. Yeah, I was like, you know far more about voodoo. I was like, what word do I use here?
I think all three words are...
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... Okay. Cool. Now, as for their philosophy as a whole, due to the homogenous nature of the Creole population in Pacifica, coupled with the lack of police forces in the district, it is difficult to determine the Voodoo Boys' numbers, structure, or even goals. It is widely known that the gang is determined to uncover secrets of the old net, and it's commonly believed that they probe the Black Wall in hope of making contact with rogue intelligence systems beyond the barrier. These attempts have drawn the attention and enmity of Netwatch, which it's widely believed and thought of by the general population. We get to find out specifically that it is. That is actually correct.
Yes. And that's what Netwatch is designed to do. Like, it's not like Netwatch is just like some fucking corpo is out there trying to attack a ganger. No. Netwatch is there to help protect the Black Wall, and the boys are trying to cross that line. So they're out there doing their job, trying to be like, no, you shall not pass, you know?
Yeah, but they're also like a corporate entity, so they suck major ass because they're corpos.
I get that side of the coin too, but they are just trying to do their job, man.
Fair enough. I mean... You know, if any of those rogue AIs got across the Black Wall with some help from, you know, a possible voodoo-themed net-running gang, and then managed to, like, infiltrate themselves into local nets and then spread and absolutely bring about the destruction of, like, everything at this point, because it's not just, like... At least whenever the rabbits were released back then, the internet was the internet. Mm-hmm. And we didn't have the internet in our bodies, and now they have the internet in their bodies, which seems more problematic.
Yeah. My internet goes down right now. It sucks. And I start reading a physical book or something like that. If the internet in 77 goes out, I might not have access to parts of my body. That doesn't seem right.
That's not right. I've had to role play through that whenever my legs got EMP'd in Cyberpunk.
That's right.
It's real difficult whenever your character has cyber legs and then an EMP takes them out. You're crawling around. Luckily for me, Mono had very strong arms. So
yeah.
I think I still killed a guy like that, if I remember correctly.
Oh, go listen to Cyberpunk, Cyberpunk apostrophe D, and find out if you can tell us what episode that happened in.
It was early season 2, I can tell you that much.
All right, now, as for the source of income, where are the Voodoo Boys getting all their monies? Well, the gang's primary source of income involves hacking databanks and accounts with various corporations in search of restricted and top secret data. They persistently violate Netwatch laws and regulations, especially in regards to contact with ISSs, which are ISs?
ISs.
¿Qué es esto? What are those?
Intelligence systems.
Oh, I spent so much time trying to research what IS meant in Cyberpunk that I just gave up, and I was just like, it can't be this obvious. But obviously it is that obvious, because
if you look at my blinking cursor, it's spelled out as intelligence systems, and then it's shortened to IS. It is that simple.
Okay.
To be fair, to completely validate, I assumed it meant intelligent systems, but I wanted to try and verify and could not verify. So I just assumed that it's intelligent systems. But I did do research to try and find out. And you know what? You should never go on the internet and try to control F IS. It doesn't give you what you're looking for.
Is. It's just the word is.
Yeah. I don't know if you know this, but the word is used a lot.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I found that out today. I control F on a page and it was like one of 80. And I was like, oh, right. Yeah. Also, they have IS in the middle of the word established. That's another one too.
I tried to look up the word ISS and it kept popping up as part of the word issue.
I saw a really weird word somewhere whenever I tried to look up ISS and it, well, you know what? I don't remember what it is, but it was a word that I'd never heard of before.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Now, another way that the Voodoo Boys get their money is that they also hire themselves out as mercenary netrunners for private contractors who are interested in hit and run netrunning operations or exploring any ruined parts of the old net, which is kind of cool.
Issa Kenya? Yeah, apparently that's a prison camp in Mississippi. It's in Cyberpunk specifically, not real world Mississippi.
I was like, because that word sounds familiar. That word sounds familiar. So why do I know this? But then, if we did the exact same research today, trying to find what an IS is, then we probably came across the same thing.
Probably came across as a Kenya.
Now, of course, other sources of income are hard to verify, but theft of virtual currency and information brokering are probably among them.
Hey, you can make a lot of money out of that stuff, so.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, wait, we know the answer to that question. Never mind.
Huh.
I was trying to think. I was like, who do you think the fixer is that they broker this information to? And I was like, oh, no, we know that. It's Mr. Hands.
Yeah.
Shout out, Mr. Hands.
Always.
Mm-hmm. Might be my favorite fixer after Phantom Liberty. Now, We do have some behind the scenes information from the official digital art book of Cyberpunk 2077. These are always a blast to read. Although this one's a bit more serious than they normally, it doesn't have quite as much sass as we normally expect. Now, when investors abandoned the Pacifica redevelopment project, the predominantly Haitian workers they had brought in to construct it defiantly remained, turning the half-built hotels and spas into their new home. The collective known as the Voodoo Boys emerged as the community's leaders. They earned this role through their fierce resistance to attempts at eviction and their fervent devotion to their own interpretation of Haitian culture and religion. In the latter, they have replaced old notions of heaven and the supernatural with the net's promise of eternal life and all-knowing AIs. Their voodoo priests are elite netrunners, masters of the digital realm, able to probe its darkest secrets and wreak havoc on enemies.
All right. I get the sass part.
Yeah.
Though surrounded by this quasi-mystic aura and mostly absorbed in their long-term passion projects on the net, Voodoo Boys still need to eat. So much of their day-to-day business looks like that of the other gangs, carrying out hits, usually based around hacking or netrunning, for cash and enforcing sovereignty on their turf with machetes and other implements of physical violence. They do, however, have an aversion to firearms, preferring instead needles wielded by shadows or skilled assassins with hologram skulls on their faces. I love that. Voodoo Boys still need to eat.
Voodoo Boys still need to eat. It's true. It is true. Well, maybe not anymore, depending on which... not anymore, depending on what choice you make. it doesn't depend on the choice. Either way, they don't need to eat no more. Now, we do have a very few prominent members of the Voodoo Boys that we know and get to meet as V. They're... probably the biggest name and their leader is that of Brigitte. And this is her database entry. An alarmingly skilled netrunner and leader of the Voodoo Boys, the gang that rules over Pacifica's Haitian community. Maman Brigitte hired Evelyn to steal the relic, so chances are she'd know enough about how to safely rip it out of V's head. Thing is, Brigitte has her own plans for the biochip. She's not the kind of leader to stand around and wait for her orders to be carried out. She takes on the riskiest jobs and is always ready to put her neck on the line for her people. The Voodoo Boys trust her. Everyone else ought to keep their distance.
Nice. I like that.
I have mad respect for that, though. Yeah, like, being the leader, but not, like, delegating the shit out to, like, your other... people, like, actually just taking them on yourself. Uh-huh. Fucking head of the spear.
Yes.
So the term?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
You're good. Well. Very much a term, and it is like the one who, you know, you leading by example is another way to put it. Mm-hmm. It's always nice to know that the person at the top is willing to do the same things that the person on the bottom is. So as for Brigitte's early life, well, she was part of the original exodus from Haiti. Like most of the Voodoo Boys, she is a dedicated netrunner who was determined to uncover the secrets of the old net. She would often probe the Black Wall in the hopes of making contact with the rogue intelligence beyond the barrier. Of course, in order to find a safe way to gain passage through it. Believing that eventually the Black Wall would crumble and its wild AIs beyond it would escape to wreak havoc in the net, Brigitte and the Voodoo Boys wished to garner favor with these AIs once they knew they were free. However, the gang's constant probing of the Black Wall began to draw the attention of Netwatch.
Mildly problematic. Now, We get to 2077. Brigitte, hoping to obtain safe passage beyond the Black Wall, sought to communicate with Alt Cunningham through the Ingram of Johnny Silverhand. After learning it was in the possession of Yorinobu Arasaka in the form of the relic prototype biochip, she and the Voodoo Boys hired Evelyn Parker to find out where it was kept via a brain dance. After learning that the plan to steal the chip had failed, Brigitte remotely hacked Evelyn to ensure that she did not reveal their involvement. Around the same time, however, Netwatch had tasked an agent to map out the Voodoo Boys' data fortress in Pacifica and shut it down. T-Neptune discovered that Netwatch was in their system, but was quickly hit with black ice and frozen, along with Brigitte. The Netwatch agent kept her and T in stasis until they were finally awoken after Placide, another member of the Voodoo Boys, hired the mercenary V to infiltrate the gym to stop Netwatch and free Brigitte and T.
Or not. Or not.
I mean, you do.
Yeah. A little bit. You could free their souls from their body, I guess.
I mean, that's later. That's after you free their bodies, and then you can free their souls from their bodies.
Okay,
you know, it's like a two-step process. You know,
all right.
Ascension is not immediate.
After completing the job, V arrived at the Voodoo Boys' hideout in order to speak with Brigitte. Revealed her presence in order to de-escalate a confrontation between the mercenary and Placide. After discovering the biochip she needed was inside V's head, she decided to bring them along to aid with their plans. Brigitte explained that she needed to contact Alt using a fragment of the biochip's memory. Alt would then recognize the memory as Johnny's engram and bring herself to the Voodoo Boys. Brigitte promised to remove the biochip from V after they drew out Alt. However, had no intentions of actually doing so, believing they would die in the process. She entered the net and unlocked the fragment of the biochip's memory before sending V through the other side of the Black Wall.
I'm gonna be real honest. I don't know if I processed that, like, in that moment we went through the Black Wall to talk to Alt.
I mean, did we actually go? Oh, we did. Yeah, we did. Because when you travel through and then you arrive at the Black Wall and then all of a sudden Alt pulls you through. Like, I remember that.
Yeah, I didn't, like, I know, like, I remember all of that. I guess I just didn't process the fact that Alt was pulling us through the Black Wall. Which means V's traveled through the Black Wall. Who gets to say that? Nope, nobody gets to say that.
Songbird.
But did Songbird travel through it?
Or does she just hack it?
Channeling it.
Yeah.
Because she's channeling it, and then the AI is like part of like the Sinister stuff. So it's not even like she didn't go across and get it. That's just a different thing entirely. So yeah. That's kind of crazy.
It is. Huh. And is that the only time that it happens? Or does... When we go into Mikoshi and Alt comes out of the Black Wall when we're doing all that stuff. Yeah, like the actual endgame stuff.
You have the bridge leading to it that you can go across.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess kind of on your first playthrough, I didn't fully understand what was happening here and what the Black Wall really was and the implications of all of that stuff. But then, like, subsequent playthroughs and things like that, I think, yeah, it became apparent that I knew I was going to the other side. Now, do we want to go over the different ways that this quest line of I Walk the Line can play out?
Sure. And specifically does have to do with Brigitte, because there's a bit different options when we get to talking about Placide. So If V took Bryce's deal and I walked the line, that was the Netwatch agent, once V and the Voodoo Boys contacted Alt Cunningham, Netwatch was ready to attack, but were stopped from tracking Alt as she flatlined the Voodoo Boys to prevent any further action. Brigitte was killed in the process. Now, if V did not take Bryce's deal and I walked the line, after V returned from cyberspace, they were confronted by Brigitte, who was surprised they had survived. V was upset for constantly being used. Brigitte then threatened V due to Alt being unable to protect them in real space.
Yeah. V should be upset for constantly being used by other people in Night City.
I mean, for sure. Like, yeah. But like, V's an edge runner, and it's kind of just kind of the status quo for them, unfortunately.
Yeah, but Brigitte wasn't paying me. If you want to use me, pay me. Like, that's the deal.
That's true. You know, that's fair enough. I mean, she said she was going to pay you by helping you get the biochip out. She just lied.
Yeah, so that's double rude.
That's fair enough. You know what? Fair enough. But hey, you have some choices whenever this happens.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk about those choices then. If V decided to settle the score in transmission, V wanting revenge against the Voodoo Boys for their continued deceit, initiated a fight with the group. Despite Brigitte's threats, V killed her along with every gang member who attempted to stop them from leaving. Now, if V decided to leave the Voodoo Boys in transmission, Brigitte was annoyed that V was still alive and threatening them. However, as the mercenary wanted nothing more to do with the Voodoo Boys, she allowed them to leave. Is there a way for me to just, like, kill half of them? Or shoot one of them in the foot just to be like, you fucking pissed me off, I'm gonna shoot you in the foot. It's gonna hurt really bad, but no permanent damage. I know there's not, but...
I mean, like, that'd be fun. That'd be a fun choice if you could do something like that. Like, I think that sounds like some Outer Worlds, like, choice-making kind of shit. Also, just to run it back a little bit to, like, with Brigitte threatening, with V threatening V due to Alt being unable to protect them in real space. I mean, technically speaking, if Alt wanted to, she could.
How so?
I mean, like, she's connected to their system now because they, like, they went into the net and then, like, contacted her, which means that, you know, someone, like, the AI of Alt would be, like, is smart enough to be able to, like, trace back the signal directly to the source. So, like, if Alt wanted to, like, fuck with their shit, she could just, she fucking kills all of them if, like, you take the deal with Bryce, which means that she could, like, she has access to this whole thing. But it's just like if you, because in what, at the end game, if you upload Alt's, like, program into the Arasaka, like, mainframe or whatever, like, she takes over, like, all of the defensive systems.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, yeah. She has access to you have a giant net running bunker that's now a weapon if she chooses to make it a weapon. So I'm not saying she would, she has no reason to,
right,
in this situation, but I'm just like, I think it's funny that it's like, yeah, she can't protect you here, and then just like, meanwhile, a fucking net runner that's still jacked in, imagine his brain just fries and she's just kind of like, you hear her voice project out of a screen like, well, if I choose to. It's just like...
Yeah, that would... I mean... But is that protection, or is that more of, I'm choosing to not kill you? Because yes, Alt could bring on their defenses online if they weren't physically able to, but unless... Well, no, she killed all those people in Arasaka Tower who weren't jacked into the net.
Because she took over all of, like, the drones and shit and fucking wiped them with them.
Yeah.
So you can like access it. And like, you know, I mean, it's distinctly in this situation, like if she chooses to protect V, it is via killing them. Like that's just obviously that's the easiest thing to do. And she is an AI and doesn't actually have morality anymore. So like, but it's just like, she could, it's possible. She has the means to do so, which you as one of the top net runners in all of Night City, I would assume, should probably know that.
Maybe.
But you know, it's fine. Maybe she's just talking a big game.
So there is another top net runner in Night City that I think we should touch on for just a second, because he has a database entry.
That's true. We do have a database entry for Wilkie Laguerre, aka Slider, a brilliant voodoo boy netrunner who was once the right hand of Maman Brigitte before they clashed over ideals. Brigitte dreamed of piercing the Black Wall, which led to constant skirmishes with Netwatch, while Slider preferred to stay away from grand schemes to focus on what he did best, carrying out corporate heists and assassinations via cyberspace. Hell yeah. Unfortunately for him, one such heist caught the attention of FIA agents who irreversibly deprived him of his sight and then through blackmail and intimidation made him their informant. In an attempt to break free from the agency's chains, he fled Pacifica and joined his brothers in Dogtown, where he took control of an illegal software operation. As it turned out, the FIA's reach extended there as well. We've talked about it in our Phantom Liberty like discussions. But if you end up having to go to him to get information on the Black Wall to help Songbird, and basically try to talk to her through him, and his brain gets fried by the Black Wall. Guess he was right to be cautious.
Yep.
But to be fair, if Idris Elba is there threatening you, you kind of just have to do what you're told.
And V, the Mega Merc, you know, I'd listen to them too.
Yeah, but you can like try to be nice as V, but
true.
You know, then Solomon is just like, nah, like you're gonna fucking help us out.
Oh, all right. So another person that we have a database entry for is Placide. Placide is one of the top brass in the Voodoo Boys, a secretive and elusive gang of netrunners in Pacifica. The Voodoo Boys don't normally want anything to do with the people from the city, but Mr. Hands managed to arrange a meeting for V with Placide. He's not much of a talker and despises helping outsiders. But if V can use him to get access to Maman Brigitte, the Chefin of the Voodoo Boys, they'll be one step closer to solving their relic problem.
Now, after fleeing Haiti, so all of these members are actually part of the original Exodus, Placide became the second in command of the Voodoo Boys under Maman Brigitte. He radiated the aura of danger and threat, inspiring fear and respect in those around him. Placide cared little for the outsiders who came into Pacifica. It would only help those in the Haitian community. Like most of the Voodoo Boys, he was a dedicated netrunner who was determined to uncover the secrets of the old net. We actually do see this whenever we like meet him, because he's like getting food for someone who needs it, which I think is pretty cool.
Was it getting food or getting the chicken? It was getting the chicken, right?
Yeah.
And the chicken's not food. The chicken is part of a Vaudun ritual. Because there are restrictions and limitations on the selling and eating of livestock within Night City. So V can comment on it about like, what are you doing eating a chicken? And he's like, it's not to be eaten. That's why we butcher and slaughter here in house. And I am going to present it to her.
I forgot that.
That part stuck out.
Also, is that a real chicken?
Yeah.
I just thought about that. That's a real chicken.
It's a real, real chicken.
It's crazy.
You can also then pick up his knife afterwards, and it's a high-level butcher's knife.
Because I was just thinking about that. Like, not only actual animal,
mm-hmm.
but also bird.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's like the Avian Extermination Act.
Yep. That's why they're allowed to have it, because it is part of their ritual and their culture and their religion, but they cannot eat the chicken.
I mean, to be fair, who's gonna enforce those laws? NCPD?
More like self-preservation. If I know that I'm probably gonna die from eating a chicken, I'm not gonna eat a chicken.
That's fair.
Yeah. So sorry, that part just stuck out in my brain of like actual practice. So yeah.
Sure.
All right, and moving further on through 2077. Placide was V's point of contact with the Voodoo Boys as the latter investigated who tried to kill Evelyn Parker with a virus, and in hopes of finding a way to safely extract the relic. Not knowing or caring why what V wanted with Maman Brigitte, Placide intended to use V as a ranion, or floor rag, or disposable merc, to infiltrate the gym and figure out what the animals who had recently occupied the place were up to, and if they were connected to the attempts to penetrate the Voodoo Boys' private net, known as the Reza Agwe. In those words, we said at the top of the show, the Agwe being the spirit, but the Reza, I think, is probably something to do with a combination of a couple different words. The Erizule. I can look that up really quick. Is the Reza a god? Or a Loa, sorry.
Etymology. French Creole word. Take from the French word. Reza. Which means network. And then, of course, we talked about that way, so.
But that's really cool. If it's a word that means network, their subnet is like spirit network. It's kind of cool.
Godnet.
Godnet.
Now, V reluctantly agreed, unaware that Placide was acting independently and knew that Reza Agwe's attacker was a member of Netwatch. He installed a surveillance program in V's cyberware that would also act as a lethal virus, killing V, the Netwatch agent Bryce Mosley, and every other agent connected to Mosley's network. When V discovered Netwatch's involvement, they were perturbed, but continued hunting Mosley at Placide's urging.
All right, now if V took Bryce's deal in I Walk the Line, Placide was enraged and suspicious at V's decision. And upon their return to the Voodoo Boys' hideout, Placide confronted them as if to start a fight. However, Maman Brigitte interrupted the two, taking V with her. And Netwatch agents then attacked the Reza Agwe at the moment Alt appeared in the net, causing her to conflate the Voodoo Boys with the Netwatch and burn them. Brigitte and all Voodoo Boys connected to Reza Agwe died, and V was forced to deal with Placide as they left, since he held the access token needed to unlock the church's door.
And V did not take Bryce's deal, and I walked the line. Once V hacked into Mosley, them and the entire Netwatch network were burned by the virus, though V recovered thanks to the relic. V later confronted Placide about putting them in danger, but the situation was de-escalated by the awakened Brigitte, who led V to the group's secret mainframe. Now, as for the transmission questline, if V spared Placide in transmission, they will later message V through the net.
Cool, cool. Now, if V decided to settle the score in transmission, V decided to kill the Voodoo Boys to avenge Evelyn Parker, because of the gang's continued mistreatment of them. Fuck you. Meh. If V decided to leave the Voodoo Boys in transmission, V ended business with Brigitte peacefully and left the church under her protection, in which case Placide was somewhat disappointed that he was unable to kill them.
Rude.
Jackass.
That's so rude. Why is...
Sorry you're upset you're not allowed to kill me.
Man, the gall some people have these days. The audacity.
The audacity. All right. I have really enjoyed learning about the Voodoo Boys. I'm glad that we took this little side quest to do a deep dive into a gang rather than just moving on to another district. So I'm really happy about that. I don't know where we're going to go next week, though. We'll see.
We're going to go deep, deep into the net to talk to our wonderful patrons, I think, right? Is that next week?
It is.
It is.
You're right.
Okay. But after that, we'll figure out another district that we're going to talk about.
Sounds good. All right. I don't think that I have anything about Pacifica, the Voodoo Boys, or Haiti to settle up on. Please give us a follow on Twitter at CyberpunkLore. Come see us over on patreon.com/CyberpunkLoreCast. A lot of the bonus content episodes have been coming out every Tuesday and Thursday. Going back and editing those is kind of fun. It makes me laugh all over again with all the shenanigans that Toasty and I get into off air. It's good times. So come give us a listen on Patreon. And if you'd like to hear more from me, you can catch me on the Two Girls, One Ship podcast, where we analyze, rate, and review all that the world of video game romances has to offer.
And if you want to hear more from me, you can check out the Witcher Lorecast or the Cyberpunk Red Live Play podcast, Cyberpunked, Cyberpunk apostrophe D, that has now been completed.
And at the end of every episode, we shout out Miracle of Sound. Thank you, Gav, for being amazing and allowing your music to be used in our show. We use snips and clips from the Neon Red instrumental remix, so go give them a listen. And while you're out there,
stay safe in Night City.
Are you a fan of Elden Ring? Are you confused about the lore as pretty much everyone else? We've got you covered. Check out the Elden Archives, a lore podcast that helps to explain every little confusing detail about the lands between. Things like what exactly happened on the Night of the Black Knives, or what we really know about characters like Mikola. Just like the show you're listening to now, we're on the Robots Radio Network, so you know it'll be good. Wondering how to find the show? Easy. Either go to robotsradio.net or search Elden Archives on whatever podcatcher you're using right now. Bookmark the show for later, and we'll see you in the lands between. Again, that's The Elden Archives, FromSoft Lorecast, available everywhere. Yeah.